Chapter 20. Five figures wandered slowly over the blighted land. Bits of it were dullish grey, bits of it dullish brown, the rest of it rather less interesting to look at. It was like a dried-out marsh, now barren of all vegetation and covered with a layer of dust about an inch thick. It was very cold. Zaphod was clearly rather depressed about it. He stalked off by himself and was soon lost to sight behind a slight rise in the ground. The wind stung Arthur's eyes and ears, and the stale, thin air clasped his throat. However, the thing that was stung most was his mind. "It's fantastic," he said, and his own voice rattled his ears. Sound carried badly in this thin atmosphere. "Desolate hole, if you ask me," said Ford. "I can have more fun in a cat litter." He felt a mounting irritation. Of all the planets, in all the star systems, of all the galaxy, many wild and exotic, seething with life, didn't he just have to turn up at a dump like this after 15 years of being a castaway? He stooped down and picked up a cold clod of earth, but there was nothing underneath it worth crossing thousands of light-years to look at. "No," insisted Arthur. "Don't you understand? This is the first time I've actually stood on the surface of another planet, a whole alien world." "Pity it's such a dump, though." Trillian hugged herself, shivered and frowned. She could have sworn she saw a slight and unexpected movement out of the corner of her eye. But when she glanced in that direction, all she could see was the ship, still and silent, 100 yards or so behind them. She was relieved when a second or so later they caught sight of Zaphod, standing on top of the ridge of ground and waving to them to come and join him. He seemed to be excited, but they couldn't clearly hear what he was saying because of the thinnish atmosphere and the wind. As they approached the ridge of higher ground, they became aware that it seemed to be circular, a crater about 150 yards wide. Round the outside of the crater, the sloping ground was spattered with black and red lumps. They stopped and looked at a piece. It was wet. It was rubbery. With horror, they suddenly realized that it was fresh whale meat. At the top of the crater's lip, they met Zaphod. "Look," he said, pointing into the crater. In the centre lay the exploded carcass of a lonely sperm whale that hadn't lived long enough to be disappointed with its lot. The silence was only disturbed by the slight involuntary spasms of Trillian's throat. "I suppose there's no point in trying to bury it," murmured Arthur, and then wished he hadn't. "Come," said Zaphod, and started back down into the crater. "What, down there?" said Trillian with severe distaste. "Yeah," said Zaphod. "Come on, I've got something to show you." "We can see it," said Trillian. "Not that," said Zaphod. "Something else. Come on." They all hesitated. "Come on," insisted Zaphod. "I found a way in." "In?" said Arthur in horror. "Into the interior of the planet, an underground passage. The force of the whale's impact cracked it open, and that's where we have to go. Where no man has trod these 5 million years, into the very depths of time itself." With little shudders of disgust, they all followed Zaphod down the incline into the crater, trying very hard to avoid looking at its unfortunate creator.
"Life," said Marvin dolefully. "Loathe it or ignore it, you can't like it."
The ground had caved in where the whale had hit it, revealing a network of galleries and passages, now largely obstructed by collapsed rubble and entrails. Zaphod had made a start clearing a way into one of them, but Marvin was able to do it rather faster. Dank air wafted out of its dark recesses, and as Zaphod shone a flashlight into it, little was visible in the dusty gloom. "According to the legends," he said, "the Magrathians lived most of their lives underground." "Why is that?" said Arthur. "Did the surface become too polluted or overpopulated?"
"No, I don't think so," said Zaphod. "I think they just didn't like it very much."
"Are you sure you know what you're doing?"
said Trillian, peering nervously into the darkness. "We've been attacked once already, you know."
"Look, kid, I promise you the live population of this planet is nil plus the four of us, so come on, let's get on in there. Hey, Earthman."
"Arthur?" said Arthur.
"Yeah, could you just sort of keep this robot with you and guard this end of the passageway, okay?"
"Guard?" said Arthur. "What from? You just said there's no one here."
"Yeah, well, just for safety, okay?" said Zaphod.
"Whose? Yours or mine?"
"Good lad. Okay, here we go."
Zaphod scrambled down into the passage, followed by Trillian and Ford.
"Well, I hope you all have a really miserable time," complained Arthur.
"Don't worry," Marvin assured him. "They will."
In a few seconds, they had disappeared from view. Arthur stamped around in a huff and then decided that a whale's graveyard is not, on the whole, a good place to stamp around in. Marvin eyed him balefully for a moment and then turned himself off.